Welcome, everybody, to this episode of On the Beat, brought to you exclusively on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. This show is where we will bring you an exclusive interview with a different beat reporter or sports journalist each week to talk about the swirling topics of the moment. I am Jerry Ostrowski, and you can find me on Twitter at Ostrowski underscore Big O. As always, folks, we appreciate you coming on. Please like, please subscribe to the show. If you know, you're going to like it because we bring you good content. But without getting into the whole thing of sitting around the cup of coffee and all that stuff Joe always talks about, I'm excited to bring in my good friend. We're both here in the city of Tulsa. He's on one side of it. I'm on the other side of it. I'm excited today as we're joined by Fox Sports analyst RJ Young. And RJ, again, a good friend of mine. What's going on, my man?
Chilling, Jerry. Excited to chop it up with you, man.
Now, I would imagine around the draft, you get a little bit busy. You get a few requests.
A little bit. But hey, look, for those that don't know, Jerry is a big brother to me. I call his son nephew. He calls me uncle. Jerry says he wants to talk ball. All he's got to do is pick up the phone. It's nice to be able to do this in front of people.
Well, RJ, we're excited to have you on as always. And, you know, this is something we just started, something you and I have talked about. Obviously we started with the whole rumblings thing and SB Nation and Vox Media, and you were beating my ear for a long, long time. Like, why aren't you doing this on your own, man? Why aren't you out there doing this on your own? You guys can get this done. And it's something myself and Joe and John Fina, former teammate, have decided to do and start Overreaction Buffalo. We're excited about it. Kind of rejuvenated all three of us. We're excited to talk about the Bills and the upcoming season. And I talked to you about this off the air a little bit, just real quick. I brag on you because I think your story is so cool. I think your story is – what I love about your story is you are a self-made dude. You put the time in to get to where you are now. Just kind of give our listeners a little bit of a background of how you started and how you ended up at Fox Sports.
I appreciate that, Jerry. Number one, I got lucky, right? Work hard. Bust my ass like everybody else, but that's the thing. Everybody busts their ass. Everybody works really hard at the thing they're trying to pursue. And then you got to have folks that help you, right? So I'm doing this thing where I'm making videos on my iPhone. I'm using iMovie to produce them and upload them to YouTube. I stumble across Oklahoma football because I had covered it as a beat writer. I was going back to school, trying to get a PhD in English, and really missed covering the team, talking about the team. And a lot of those guys that were on the 2017 Oklahoma team were like little brothers to me because I covered recruiting and I'd known them since they were in seventh or eighth grade. So I'd know their families and I knew some interesting stories about them. And I was able to relay that in these videos. And that kind of caught its own sort of fire as I'm going through school. I get an opportunity to be a guest on a Monday morning show here locally on the Sports Animal. And Jerry was at that time still hosting 11 to 2. I think that's right, Jerry? Is it 11 to 1, 11 to 2? Okay.
Yeah.
Coaching Big O Show. And Jerry got up out of that chair to go do another job. And at the time, Jerry told anybody that would listen, RJ needs to have that chair. And I have always been so grateful to Jerry for that because he recognized work ethic and then he gave me a hand, right? My job is to make him right? Make him look good for having given me that opportunity. And I take that opportunity and it grows into a number of other things. Did a little bit of ESPN before Fox came calling and they asked me, hey, would you like a job doing what you do on YouTube for us, right here for Fox Sports, covering college football? And I said, yeah, man. And that's going on about 7 years in September. So it's been quite a ride.
You know, and the thing that besides his work ethic and just being incredibly knowledgeable and prepared, the other thing that kind of drew me to RJ, I'm a big proponent of toughness. And I know it sounds crazy. You don't think that being in sports media that you necessarily be tough, but you do. You got to have the toughness about you. It's a tough, tough business to get into. And RJ had that toughness. And I'd be amiss, RJ, if I didn't put this up. Our boy, Big Will, my man, Willie Wright, Tulsa royalty. He chimes in, says, yo, guys. And we appreciate everybody up in the comments. Richard, as always, Karen, Bella, everybody that's joining tonight. Thanks for coming on. If you're listening on YouTube, or I'm sorry, if you're listening on X, or if you still call it Twitter, or you're listening on Facebook, hop on over to YouTube. jump in the comments, be a part of the show, as we'll be here for, you know, we try to be here for about 30 minutes because that's what YouTube tells us you like. So that's what we're trying to do. But hey, we all know that the Buffalo Bills are really, really in need of a wide receiver number one. I don't like the number system, RJ. Everybody seems to utilize it. Wide receiver one, two, three. I think it's Friday Night Lights' fault with the whole QB1 deal. But hey, you know, what am I to say? But, you know, obviously we need some help at wide receiver. We got some good core talent on this team. We are talking specifically wide receivers today and guys that, you know, are the elite of the elite, and maybe some guys that'll be there if the Bills decide to stick and pick at 28. And we'll pick RJ's brain about that and who he likes and doesn't like and some other things as we move on in the show. But looking at this draft, obviously there's three wideouts, RJ, that just stand out that are considered those elite guys that are multi-tool dudes that can't miss. Give us your feeling on guys like Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and also Rome Odunze, who I got to see in person play against Tulsa this year. Those guys are the elite three. What are your feelings on those three?
Shout out to Willie. Also another offensive lineman I get along with because we turn the AC down and we shut the curtains. All right? I'm one of them skill guys. You know what I'm saying? Why are we out here being hot? You know what I'm saying? I'm getting there. On the 1-2-3 part, Jerry, I'm an XYZ guy, but I'm also a quarterback. So you understand right. this? I like to know who I'm throwing the ball to. Right. And I like to be able to say, hey, look, this is called GTFO. And that O stands for open. All right? Make me look good. And those three guys that you talked about, they fit the bill, right? Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze in particular. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the Martian. That's what we call him. He makes some miraculous catches. Working at Fox, I see a lot of Ohio State football, whether exactly. I want to or not. And that dude's just different. Like, put another way, Ohio State is renowned for running the football, right? Only in the last 4 or 5 years have they started to have these F-18s out there on the numbers. And one of those guys, Marvin Harrison Jr., a couple years ago, that was the third best wide receiver. Other guys being Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith and Jigba coming along. But the Martian is the first guy to go back-to-back with 1,000-yard receiving seasons and the first Biletnikoff Award winner out of there since 1995 with Terry Glenn. So he's probably going to be gone, right? He's probably going to be at Arizona. I like Rome. I think Rome's going to be gone. I think Malik Nabers is a guy that can take the top off the defense. Other guy over there people might be sleeping on is Brian Thomas Jr. Outside of those guys, right, I still think you got some really good talent here. Jerry, I can get into any one of these guys, but I wonder, who is it that y'all think you like? And who is it I could probably talk you into?
Well, I'm not much of an alien guy, but I'm down with Martians. I mean, obviously, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the guy that everybody wants, right? I mean, I played against his dad. We're both guys from Philly, right? How do you not like this dude? I mean, amazing, amazing ball skills. But, you know, as we progress from those three, you know, I have to ask the next tier level of player, you know, and you even consider Brian Thomas Jr. a guy that could be one of those top 10, top 12 type dudes. But throw Brian Thomas Jr. into maybe the, I don't even like to say second tier, but away from those first three. Him, Ladd McConkey, and Mitchell from Texas. Three dudes that have, you know, first round grades. Of those three guys, does anybody stand out as the leader of the group? Or are these three guys, if the Bills decide to stay at 28, or maybe even move up a few spots if they catch wind that somebody else wants one of these receivers that's available, is there a guy that has kind of separated himself from that group? Or can you sit back and be happy if one of those three are available?
I'm going to add a fourth to that mix. I'm going to add the other Texas wide receiver, Xavier Worthy, who I understand is undersized for a lot of folks, but you run 4.22, you get my attention, right? And that's before right. you take into account what he did at Texas as the number one. Like Adonai Mitchell has all the measurables you want, and he played on a national championship Georgia football team, but he was number two in a very good offense last year that made it to the college football playoff. I really like Xavier Worthy's speed. I like the way he takes the top off the defense. I really enjoy how if you put him in the slot, he'll win. You put him on the numbers, he'll win. Brian Thomas Jr., I think, is in that Justin Jefferson mold. I think you understand what I'm getting at here. If we think that Malik Nabers is the number one that Ja'Marr Chase was, well, Justin Jefferson was right there, and we didn't know what kind of dude he was going to turn out to be.
Right.
I say that. I watched him walk all over Oklahoma, so I kind of understood that, you know what I'm saying, down there at LSU. But I think Brian Thomas Jr. gets there, and if he's still there and you like him and he gives you that feeling of perhaps being an alpha in your wide receiver room, you go get him. Ladd McConkey just, he could be a local favorite. Now, we can go any way you want to go on this, Jerry, but I think you understand what I'm getting at here. If your boy Josh is throwing to Ladd McConkey and they making it happen, hell, who would, there was another white wide receiver out there, Cole.
Beasley. Hell,
thank you. He's faster. Like, all right, right. I used to think the Ladd McConkey wasn't nobody. Then he threw 4-4 down. I felt better about myself. You know what I'm saying? You got 4-4 out there in the slot. He's going to help you. I think if you get any one of those guys, you're going to be in a good spot. I don't know that they're going to be there at 28, but if Xavier Worthy's still there at 28, that's the guy that I'm going to go get because I got him on the fringe with those other three wide receivers we were just talking about.
And you bring up a great point. You talk about taking the top off of a defense. One of the things that Brandon Bean talked about last week at the start of OTAs was he is really looking for guys that have yak, yards after catch, right? Obviously, the elites more than likely have that. Who are your better kind of yard after catch type receivers? You talk about guys taking the top off of it, but you know, dudes like the ability that Diggs had to take that hitch route and take it 60 at any moment. Who are those cats in this draft that you really, really like as far as yards after catch?
There is one guy in particular that I think you should be paying attention to. It's Oregon wide receiver Troy Franklin. Troy Franklin was a second-team All-American because Marvin Harrison Jr. and Romo Dunze were first-team All-American. Right. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You know? I think he was criminally underused by Mario Cristobal, who ran a different style of offense as head coach at Oregon. But with Willie Stein and Bo Nix over there, that dude turns into a damn near 1,400-yard receiver. They make it to the Pac-12 title game. They play in the Fiesta Bowl. You can see he's got all the tools of a Stephon Diggs, of the guy that you just watched walk out the door. He's ready-made to plug and play into what you want to do because he can do all these things that we would like to see little guys do, right? Be fast, be shifty, make those slants, right? Cut, go. But he's also a guy that if it's a go ball and it's a jump ball, he can win because he's got that sort of size, right? I think that guy also, it's a very deep wide receiver class. That's the other thing that I really want to get across. Even if you got to wait till the second or third to get a guy that you think you like, is going to be there, right? One other dude that I think you should take a look at is the other Florida State wide receiver. That is 6'7", Johnny Wilson. Now, Johnny Wilson didn't have the 2023 that he had in 2022. He's also sharing the rock, right? Because Keon Coleman's over there along with Jaheim Bell. But I watched Johnny Wilson go to work on Oklahoma in the Cheez-It Bowl 2022, and he had come from Arizona State where he was doing a similar thing. If you want size and you want somebody with some legitimate speed at 4'5", I would look to him who's got a he's faster than Keon Coleman. We don't talk about that. Keon Coleman's a basketball player, but Johnny Wilson looks like a basketball player playing wide receiver. I think Troy Franklin, Johnny Wilson, those guys can help you if they fall to you.
You know, and RJ Young joins us from Fox Sports, national college football correspondent. Very, very blessed to have him take some time out today of his busy week because just like everybody, it is draft week, and a lot of us are putting out a lot of content. And you made a comment that I want to ask you about. The way football is going, and you talk about shifty receivers and yards after catch and all this, we've spoken on a few guys that have that size, that jump ball ability, but with the Tyreek Hills and some of the other receivers that are making tons and tons of money with that long crossing route, catching the ball in traffic, making guys miss and scoring, is the emphasis on size at receiver starting to diminish? And let me make this two parts. Is it not only is the emphasis on size diminishing and it's more on athleticism, and is this because we're finally embracing the players we're getting from college because of the way the college game is going nowadays?
I think it's a little bit of both, but I want to unpack that, right? Because I think that's kind of a nothing response when people say it's a little bit of both. I think because of how we call DPI and illegal contact coming into the game a few years back, we are looking at guys that get free releases. And I'm still raised at a time when a free release was not a given, right? Like, you were going to put your hands on somebody. R.W. McCorder's going to punch you in the chest. You got to get by him. L'Jarius Sneed was giving Tyreek the what for and the how now when the Kansas City Chiefs were playing against the Miami Dolphins. So I think that's a double-edged sword, right? You're going to get shifty and fast, but if that dude can't get off the line, what good is he for you, right? I think that you're also really starting to look at speed being what many of these offensive coordinators want and need because they are seeing that if they don't sub, right, they're going to get an advantage against that defense, right? You're going to have to manipulate that defense into something you want, and you're probably going to get it. So if you got that sort of size and speed in the inside, say I'm going to pull out one of the greatest tight ends of all time in Travis Kelce, a guy who's a glorified wide receiver, you're going to take that too. I think it's about what do you have available for you and what, honestly, you can afford to pay for. I don't know that we're going to see a philosophical change here, but I would like to point this. If I can go back to college for just a second, I watched the Michigan spring game. Michigan likes to run the football. You know this very well. Like, the offensive line there is legitimate. They're awesome. Right. But on the numbers, they are short and fast. That was new for me. I'm looking over there. I'm going, everybody over there is at least 6 feet or under. They're all very quick when they get to the ball, and they're creating these routes for these quarterbacks that are hitch routes, right? They're swing passes. They're slants. Get the ball and let the playmaker go do something. I think that's going to make it easier on your quarterbacks and your offense, quite frankly, if you can get that involved. I don't know how that plays for a guy like Josh Allen who's got a bazooka for an arm, but right. Any easy outlet you can give that guy, I think you're going to take.
Well, I think the thing about Josh that's so unique is, and you talk about that arm strength, I'm not sure Josh a lot of times is reading route progressions. He's going to look at one or two maybe, make some moves with his feet, and when he sees guys open, he's going to get them the football, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's where a lot of that comes into play, these guys that are able to get open in traffic, that are able to come out the other side clean, is where Josh can make some plays.
I think you're right about that. And I think if that is the mode that your quarterback is in, and we know from Joe Brady, he loves to move the ball down the field to the wide receivers, then you're going to create those opportunities for him. Let's not try to fix something that might take some time to fix. Let's play to his strengths. And if his strengths are making it happen when he sees a guy open, yeah, I'm going to give him a lot of crossing routes. I'm going to give him a lot of guys that sit down in zones. I'm going to give him some guys that say, hey, I'm going to win over here on the outside. Just put it up and let me go get it. And then Josh is a physical freak, so anything he wants to do with his body, I'm going to trust him to go do. I think this is going to be a lot of fun in as far as what you're going to have at the wide receiver positions for his skill set. And I think you can go any direction you want here. Now, my question for you on this, Jerry, and this is where you're going to have to fill me in. You tell me he's going to go 1-2, right? He's not going to go across the field. Why not go all in and go get a wide receiver that you know can give him that number one that he doesn't have to look to anybody else?
Right. No, I think that's true. I just think that the fact of the matter is we're talking about, and when you say that, you're talking about moving up to get a Harrison, a Neighbors, or an Odunze, right?
Yes.
Well, the problem with this is that A, I don't know if they have the draft capital this season to do that, and you're now mortgaging your football team and its future on one player when a team like the Bills at this present moment is – they're cash-strapped. I mean, let's face facts. They're eating $31, $32 million in move digs. We talked to Billy Connolly last night, former teammate of mine who's now an agent. He's Mitch Morris's agent. We've had to move Mitch and release him for cap considerations amongst other players like Jordan Poyer. So are you in a position to afford, can you afford to give up draft picks in future years, especially first round picks, to go up and get that guy? Now, if I was going to say, okay, if we were talking about Harrison and maybe Odunze only and talking about how this was a weak class for wide receivers, honestly, I don't think we'll see that anymore, RJ, with the way college football is progressing. We're always going to have a number of wideouts. But it just so happens this year we've got many more talented guys with high grades than we've had in the past. But last year wasn't great, but the year before was pretty good. But when you say that, and knowing how teams nowadays are relying on those four-year contracts with the fifth-year option, it's hard to give those picks away because those are future starters that you might not have.
Then let's go get a guy who has played in an offense that's similar to the one that we played. I know that's basic, right? But I'm thinking about Brian Thomas Jr. here, right? Because let's assume Malik Nabers is gone. The reason I'm going to pick him back up is Jaden Daniels and his skill set is similar to what Josh Allen was doing last year. He's going to move around. He's going to find somebody open. He's going to try to throw him the ball deep. Now, I think Jaden Daniels is a outlier because I watched that dude play for 4 years. He didn't show me nothing like he showed me in 2023. But then again, he didn't have those guys on the outside like he did the last couple of years. I think that if you are looking for somebody that can absolutely play pickup with you, like on the fly, play a two-man game with you up and down the field, Brian Thomas Jr. is coming from that offense, right? He's coming from a quarterback that did just that. There's a lot of things that Josh is not going to have to tell him that he's just going to be able to do intuitively in a way that, say, Marvin Harrison Jr. might not. he comes from an offense where the quarterback had to throw the ball to him, or they were just not going to move the ball through the passing game as much as they would like to, because he didn't have as much time to look around and make a decision. And Kyle McCord is not going to be the runner that Josh Allen is or that Jaden Daniels is. So perhaps we're going to focus a little bit back on that. And that's why I'm going to go back around and I'm going to say once again, Troy Franklin is over there. He's coming from an offense that was prolific, that was really great running the football, right? So you got man coverage a lot. And Bo Nix, another dude that took the leap in a year that I did not expect to see Bo Nix as a Heisman front runner. I'm still got Auburn Bo Nix in my brain.
Same.
He's not that good, right? But Troy Franklin, making him right most of the time. And one more dude I want to throw at you, Jerry. I know he's not a wide receiver, but you get where I'm going here. If Brock Bowers is there,
that was going to be a question. Okay. Hold that. I'm going to get that to you in a second because I know how much you like him. And I want to get that. But I want to stay on this topic because if I'm hearing you correctly, if you're willing to trade up some spots, not up into the top five, not even the top 10, but if you're willing to trade up some spots, maybe mortgage some future picks, the guy that you would go get if he's available is Brian Thomas Jr. If you stay and if you stick and pick at 28 and you definitely want to wide out, the guy that you like is Troy Franklin from Oregon.
Yeah, and I also like Troy because I know he's going to be there. Like, one of the things that I'm learning, and we talk draft until we're blue in the face because it's one of Jerry's favorite topics, that and just measuring these guys and seeing what they're up against as they're entering the league. I'm looking at a guy that's going to be there. Like, I don't like pushing money into the pile that I don't have. I'm with you, right? I like saving my money. I like knowing what I'm paying for. And if I can't afford it, I can't afford it, right? We'll go get something I can't afford. And then I'm going to have to work my ass off and develop that guy into the kind of player I need him to be, right? I'm not afraid of that challenge. That's about work. But Troy's going to be there. I don't know that I'm going to move up to go get Brian Thomas Jr., but if you're asking me if I would rather have Brian Thomas Jr. versus Troy, I'm probably going to go get the guy at LSU before I go get the guy at Oregon, but I'm assuming that he is gone. I'm also assuming that Xavier Worthy is gone. I'm assuming that five wide receivers at a minimum are already off the board before you get to 28. And that's a deep draft, dog. That's super deep.
Well, I believe, and there's many predicting right now that it'll be the first time since, I believe, 21 where they're expecting 21. There could be 21, 22 possible first-round offensive picks as opposed to defense. I mean, that much offensive heavy this year. Let me ask you this, RJ, before we go into what you wanted to talk about a second ago. You brought up Wilson a little bit ago from Florida State. Fourth and fifth round grades, you know, give me some guys that if we move into the latter round, second round, you know, but I'm talking, the Bills don't have a third, but you look at the fourth and fifth round, some standout wideouts that could still be around day two, day three that you really, really like.
Roman Wilson just won a national championship. Okay. On a team that didn't throw the ball often, but when they did, they threw it to him, okay?
Right.
He's going to be there. Now, he doesn't have the size that Johnny Wilson does because not a whole lot of people do, but he's going to be there. I'm also not sold on Keon Coleman. I think he still might be there in the latter rounds. Like, I understand people are in love with that guy's size. I get it, right? The basketball background, and he was catching some touchdown passes, but he does not measure for me like a guy that I'm going to be drafting on even the second day. I'm just not there. But if he's there, maybe you want to take a flyer on him, given what he showed at Florida State, given what he showed at Michigan State, right? Maybe you can find somebody there that you really like. Even looking down the line there, I'm having a hard time not recommending Jalen Polk here. Jalen Polk might have been the third best wide receiver at Washington last year, but 1,000-yard receiver, right? Along with guys like Josh Jackson and Jalen McMillan. Michael Penix Jr. had some guys to throw the ball to, but I think he's going to be there, right? You don't have to rush this, I think, is the thing. Because I could throw at least 14 names at you right now that I think are going to be there and might even go undrafted just because there are so many wide receivers that I can just go get. It feels like I get those guys off the street. So much so that, like, I don't even talk about them that often on my show anymore because we're just making them. And Joe Brady, I talk about 2021, he broke this. He broke this, right? He showed up. He said, hey, my wide receivers are going to catch 1,000 passes during the offseason, all the way up through practice. And when we get to play, they're going to know what it means to have a football in their hands. Now everybody does that, right? Now we get to make wide receivers that do the things we need them to do. And most of the things we need them to do is yak, right? We need them to catch the ball in space and do something with it. But also, we're not playing against the sideline anymore. Right. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but like, I'm not seeing corners that play with technique where their butts to the sideline. right? I see corners that are going to give you outside. They're right. worried about covering inside. They're what does the safety give me help over the top? I'm looking at slot corners going, that's where I need to be putting my money, right? I need a guy that can go either way, a guy that can match up against Xavier Worthy, a guy that can match up against the Travis Kelce, and that's going to be my best defensive back. Minka Fitzpatrick, for me, comes to mind, right? I love that dude. I'm in love with his game. That is the kind of defensive back that I want because I'm looking at this as a quarterback. Who do I not want to throw against? And that guy doesn't really exist except to say, who can keep my wide receiver from getting releases? So perhaps this is something that you work out if you are Brandon Bean, right? You're going, okay, which one of these guys can beat a jam, right? I need to see it over and over and over again. How does he do it? What is his technique? What's his go-to move?
A guy that's been linked to the Bills, and Robert asked this question, as long as some other listeners, a guy that's been linked to the Bills is Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. Mm. I know that you have studied and know Spencer Rattler intimately, so obviously you've probably seen some film on Leggett. What is your opinion on his skill set and where he may fit? Is he a guy that if the Bills get him, they should be happy?
One of those 14 guys I could throw at you. I don't know that you should be happy. I think you could be honest with yourself going, okay, we got somebody that can help us. We don't know if he can help us, but we got somebody we think can help us. You're not taking a flyer on Xavier Leggett. And I really like him because Spencer's smart, right? Spencer doesn't overthink it either. Spencer's going to throw the ball to the guy that's going to catch it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like that's that he really does trust Xavier Leggett. And you could see that in their play last year because when they were combining, South Carolina was moving the ball down the field. Now, take into account, right, who South Carolina was playing against, and maybe that means more to you to use the SEC parlance because the Gamecocks played a tough schedule. I'm not so sure that he holds up from a flat speed standpoint, right, because he's more of, I mean, we're old school now, but possession wide receiver is what I think about, right? Not a guy that's going for yak, but a guy that's going to catch the ball when you throw it to him. Now, is he going to go down? Probably, right? But I don't think him as a dude that's just going to take the top off the defense.
RJ Young joins us, Fox Sports college football correspondent. We got a few minutes left, RJ. All right, I'm going to give you the platform. And it happened last year in Buffalo. We talked about wide receiver help, and we go out and move up a few spots and pick Dalton Kincaid, the star tight end from Utah. And the word was, hey, yeah, he's a tight end, but line him up in the slot. Let him go make plays. Brock Bowers from Georgia, a guy that you love, a guy that you feel – I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but from talking to you about Brock, I mean, I would say he might be one of the top three – your top three favorite guys this year in this draft. A little bit about him and just kind of what – you want wide receivers. This is another guy you can put in the slot, do some things with, and make plays.
It's a guy I got to talk to during this draft process on my show. It's very much fun to talk to these guys and see where their head's at, but – I put it this way. Georgia doesn't make a habit of going to Napa Valley to get anybody. Okay? They went to Napa Valley to go get a tight end. Right. And then that tight end showed up as a true freshman in what I think is the best tight end class or best tight end room that we have seen over the last 5 years, right? At the time, you got the number one tight end in the 2019 class in Eric Gilbert, who was the highest rated tight end in history, right? And then you got Darnell Washington. And those of y'all that see the Pittsburgh Steelers are going, hey, why don't they throw that dude the ball more? Because they use him as a glorified offensive lineman, and you're underselling it. That dude is also 6'7", 260. And Brock Bowers showed up as a true freshman, was the best tight end in that room. That's one. Two is, best tight end in Georgia history. What does that mean to you, right? Well, I'm thinking about that going, I can't think of anybody else I would have him better than. And more than that, George Pickens has turned the NFL, you know, upside down with his abilities, right? And we all knew that he was underused at Georgia because that's not really what they do. But when they were throwing the ball, they were either throwing it to George. And when George got doubled, they threw it to Brock. And when Brock was getting doubled later, they're running end arounds to the tight end. Not for nothing, but we talk about some Keith Anderson type stuff now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm so overjoyed that you guys got to deal with this whole ass problem that is Brock Bowers in the NFL. And I'm looking at that as a offensive-minded guy, right? A skill-minded guy. And I'm going, y'all can't do nothing with him. I want him. Can't nobody on that defense do nothing with that dude, right? It's like my man at Purdue, Zach Edey, just leaning on you. There's nothing you can do with that. He's just going to go get what he wants. And any guy that I'm going to run in the rounds to who is that big, who is that strong, is going to be a problem for everybody. So I'm asking it this way. How does that work for the Buffalo Bills? Right, I understand y'all got Knox, You got Kincaid. This would be a third tight end. I'm going, sounds like you got a natural X over there in a Brock Bowers or Dalton Kincaid, and maybe you modify the offense just a little bit. Maybe. I'm not saying you got to do what Greg Roman was doing, but you get my point here where you're putting your tight ends out there because they are part of your best 11. And I think that guy, I have him rated, and I'm not joking about this, behind Marvin Harrison Jr. as a receiver. Man. He's that good to me.
Now, let me ask you this, and I have to ask this question, and I kind of know where you're probably going to go with it, and the answer is probably going to be, who cares? Does he have any blocking ability?
Yes, because Kirby Smart cares. Yes, he does. Yeah, yes, he does. They do not sub him out, right? You're not going to see Travis Kelce walking up to Andy Reid, giving him the what for and how now because he took him out on a rundown. No. Right. If you can't block in Todd Hartley's tight end room, you're not going to catch any passes at tight end for George Bulldogs, all right? So, I don't know how he's going to feel about playing in the cold because one of the things that he said out loud was, hey, I went to Georgia because, A, Georgia was playing football because he was being recruited during COVID, which means he flew under the radar for many people, showed up on campus, beat the hell out of everybody. But one of the reasons he wanted to go to Georgia is it's warm. He's from California. He might show up to Buffalo and wonder why there's no California here in Buffalo, New York. But that would be my only drawback.
There's a California road.
Y'all going to have to take care of my man.
That's and as a matter of fact, it's right by the stadium, so he can buy a house on it if he wants to be on California. We could do that. But, hey, RJ, I'm gonna ask you one last question, and we're into this thing. One last question before we get out of here today. Again, I appreciate you so much for spending your time. It's so awesome to get to visit with you and listen to you talk about what you know best, and that's college football and players and just development and all those things. But I am going to end on this, and it is a little bit different than what we talked about because we talked about receivers and pass catchers. But let me ask you this. If you're Brandon Bean on Thursday night, what in your mind are you doing with that 28th pick? What do you want to do? What do you envision doing if you're the general manager of the Bills on Thursday night?
I always want best available. Who is the best player available to me? Because nothing else, as a general manager, I also have to look at these guys as assets to my organization. And maybe there are assets that are in my organization I can move. Maybe I can develop those sorts of things. I'm looking at this and I'm also going, where are my needs, right?
Right.
On top of what's best available, what am I hurting most for? If it is a wide receiver, go get a wide receiver. I'm not going to spend a first round pick on a wide receiver myself because I can go get that guy, right? Guys that I can't go get are guys that win Thorpe Awards, are guys that win Outland Trophies, right? Are guys on the interior. So we've talked a little bit about Cooper DeJean, and I kind of want to talk about him just a little bit more, okay? I was way ahead on Cooper DeJean 2 years ago because I would tell anybody that listened, Phil Parker had the best defense in college football, not named Georgia. And this has been going on for 2+ years. They just don't have an offense that's worth a damn at Iowa, so you never hear about it, right?
Right.
Cooper returns kicks, returned punts, played safety, played nickel, played corner, played will. I don't think there is a better athlete in this entire draft. Now, the knee injury scares me. It does, right? I don't like injuries. I don't think anybody likes injuries, right?
Right.
But if you're going to take a flyer on best available, there's nothing that dude can't do, right? And I would match him up against Brock Bowers and then I would get my popcorn. That's how I feel, right? I would love to see those guys go to work on each other because they're going to get better. And I imagine, it's not going to happen, but you have both of those guys on the same team, you're going to be good, right?
Right.
So I think that is one of those things that I'm going to be looking for. I don't know that there's going to be a lot of defensive line talent out of this. Not saying that's something you need, but I'm always going to stock up on it, right?
Because we do need edge. We do need edge.
Okay. Well, if Jared Verse is still there,
right,
you might take a look at him. That's a guy that pairs very well with Ed Oliver, right, in his game. Like, Jared Verse, from a stand-up 9 technique, barrel rolled over Florida's offensive lineman, right tackle, and pushed him into the quarterback sack, quarterback and the offensive lineman, from a stand-up 7. I can't teach that.
Right.
I can't teach that. These are the kind of plays that get me giddy, right? I really love ball, and I really love it when guys are doing things that I have to explain to other people, no, that's not how you play the sport. That's just how he plays the sport. And you know, I'll spend that clip to Owen because I expect to see a lot of that.
Well, hey, this has been a special edition of On the Beat here on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. Tomorrow, Joe Marino comes on from Locked On Bills. He'll be with Joe and John. They're going to talk complete draft, all positions, theory, what might the Bills do on Thursday night. But I really wanted to get into the wideouts, and I knew that if I just had to call my guy, I knew that he was going to know all about him, and he didn't disappoint. So I'm the Big O Jerry Ostrowski for RJ Young. RJ, you don't have to do this. This is what we always do when we sign off. Because I know you're a Cowboys fan. We always say, go Bills. If you want to join in, you can join in.
Go Jerry Ostrowski.
Appreciate you, RJ. And thanks for listening. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. We'll be back tomorrow with more right here on Overreaction Buffalo.